Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Show me a different picture, because that was just, I don't know.
You know,
the camera's so close.
You know who he is.
I really don't know who that is.
Yes, you do.
You know who that is.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, well, now I do.
Yeah, I mean, he's like,
I don't think he's that hot. I don't think he's, I think he's a fine, yeah, he's an,
his entire demeanor's hot.
He's an above average.
Everything about him.
His profession's hot.
Yeah, and.
Okay, we're getting too close.
How well he does it is hot.
Okay, all right, all right.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hi, welcome to Unnecessary Roughness Barstool's College Football Podcast, brought to you by...
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You missed last week's show to go snowboarding for a week?
No, I went snowboarding this Monday. Last week I had a family emergency, which you are so in your own head, you didn't even know what was going on. The entire office knew.
I have no idea. I still don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's...
Doesn't matter.
We don't have to talk about it. I just don't know.
I don't think this is the appropriate platform to talk about it.
We didn't have it said anything.
Okay.
This is our State of the Union address.
Okay.
State of the Union address.
That's fine. When are you going to tell me, though?
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay. All right. Yes, Jack.
You almost need somebody in the office, because you're very busy, and I'm not saying that in an insulting way. You're so busy, you don't know about, like, what's going on the floor.
I rarely know.
Katie's
busy, too.
Katie's busy, too. Katie knows 75%. You almost need to pay me to give you all the gossip.
About Jack. Jack might be the most plugged-in guy in the office.
Oh, 100%.
There's others.
There's two people that I go to.
There's
Jack's
others.
One of them.
There's others, I think.
Like some,
I'm up there for sure. Yeah,
you're way up there.
Someone who I thought quit, and to confirm it, I went to Jack, and I found this out before he did.
Also,
but that was weird.
I don't want you to tell me what happened. I want Jack to tell me.
He won't tell you.
I'll tell you, but I don't have. You may have better. Like
I would assume she does have better information.
Yeah.
All right.
I had a family emergency, Brandon.
It's fine.
Okay.
Should talk about college football.
I guess.
Well, those aren't real people.
No, that guy challenged me to rough and rowdy once.
Did he?
And I just laughed at him.
Who is that?
You know that guy.
Yeah, you would
be. You know who he looks like? You know who he looks like?
Who?
The two twin brothers from Dude Perfect.
He does. He looks like, yeah, he does.
He apologized to me about the rough and rowdy thing. And
who is he?
I forget his name, but he did go to Florida.
Yeah.
Another SEC guy.
He looks like.
He works here?
Yeah.
I've decided to make a change when the fall comes.
What?
You
know how sometimes we use Big T to come in and do the delusional Tennessee fan thing?
Yeah.
Big T's useless.
That was mean.
I don't really like him. He doesn't offer much, and if he's in a bad mood, he'll just give you one-word answers. Have you ever engaged with Travis for the Boys?
About football?
Or just like...
About anything.
No, I don't think so. Not
he
because...
He is an Alabama fan.
Oh, boy.
And he is a delusional Alabama fan. You know how delusional you got to be a delusional Alabama fan? They win.
I was about to ask, how could you be delusional?
I don't know how, but this guy.
Like in a negative way?
No, he's the dumbest.
Like, no, but I'm saying like he's delusional like negatively about
Alabama? No, positively.
Like, how in the world is that possible?
I don't know.
He thinks the amount of national championships they have should be much more.
Yes. He also thinks Auburn goes 1-11 every year.
And 1-11, and the only one they have is against them. Like he said, like it doesn't matter. Auburn could have a high school JV football team out there. If they play Alabama at Jordan-Hare, there's going to be
I want a roster. Yeah. I want a roster of delusional idiots.
In the office?
We got Tennessee, we got Alabama. I feel like there's LSU
floating
around.
Mississippi State, we got Ole Miss.
No. We don't have Mississippi State. I said delusional idiots.
Well, there's Ellis.
Okay,
there's one.
I've got A&M. Oh, we've got it. That LSU.
That's about as interesting as whiteout.
He's on the gay podcast.
Is he?
Yeah, they love him.
Is he gay?
No.
Oh, he's
a girlfriend.
He's a producer.
Is she gay?
Maybe that's a thing.
He's really nice. He's a nice guy. Are you just lashing out at everybody today?
No. Why? Oh,
I don't know.
All right, so we got some college football to talk about. I have two things I have prepared. You actually don't even know about one of them. So
I do know about one.
You have a delusional Notre Dame fan upstairs.
Do we?
Yeah, the guy, he works on the class. Oh, what's his name?
What's
the
Nick? Red hair. Nick Mulcahy.
Oh, Nick Mulcahy.
Nick Mulcahy really is nice delusional. Shane Gillis, delusional Notre Dame fan.
We have a delusional NC State guy.
Barcel Chief is.
But he does it like he's Notre just Dame. He's a fake person.
Yeah.
Chief for Notre Dame.
Chief isn't as irrational as Mulcahy. Mulcahy thinks it's God, like Notre Dame's God-given right is to win national championships.
That's fair.
Jeff D. Lowe is delusional on the opposite. Like when Penn State loses one game,
right,
their program is done forever. Who's FaceTiming you?
What's up, Roan?
Hi, Roan. Hi, Caleb.
Hey.
What's up?
How you doing, Caleb?
Is that the whole unnecessary roughness crew in there?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Casey? What's up, Jack?
What's up?
We are on our way to Starkville.
Starkville, yeah. Okay, you need restaurant recommendations? There's two brothers. There's two brothers smoke meats. It's on University Drive. It's across the street from Bulldog Burger and Ben 612. There's a Chick-fil-A right there by the entrance to campus. It's beautiful. Just what, Caleb, it's fine. Please go to Two Brothers. Okay, bye. Okay, bye.
Wow, that was a lot.
Funny.
What movie is Four Brothers?
I'm gonna look it up for
is
you.
Tay Diggs in a movie about Four
Gang Bang.
Huh?
Nothing.
It's not Gang Bang.
Katie.
Four Brothers, Wahlberg, Tyrese Gibson, Andre Benjamin. So there was two black guys, two white guys.
Is there even a person named Tay Gibbs?
It's Tyree Gibson.
Okay.
Yeah,
Tyrese.
Who's Tay? Tay something.
I'll look right now.
Tay Diggs?
Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs, yeah.
There's no Tay Diggs
in here.
Okay. But I
there is a Tay Diggs as a human.
No, yeah, he exists.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that all on the podcast?
We'll see. I think there's points where I'll cut it up that like they can
all right.
Like you him the funniest part was Caleb just assuming every place in Starkville, Mississippi is a fast food chain.
I mean there's definitely funny parts that need to make it.
He's done a video before where he went to Starkville.
I know.
And we've all most of 75% of us have been to Starkville. 75% of us have been to Two Brothers. And we all know it's a delicious place, yes?
Yes.
I also liked, he was like, well, obviously I'm out of the view, but he was like, Brandon, Casey, Jack. And I was like,
oh, yeah. He just couldn't see you.
Oh, no. I've been texting
like,
Caleb.
YouTube,
and
you can
people.
See, right?
Yeah.
Can YouTube see Katie right now?
Hopefully.
Oh, damn. Brandon's just furiously texting over here.
I have to get him on a smokestack in West Point, Mississippi.
Do you want me to, I can text Donnie.
Don't. Like, I got everything. Just everybody relax.
Oh, by the way, Brendan, happy March 2nd.
3-2 day.
I'll punch you right in the fucking throat, Jack. I will punch you right in your throat.
On college football, some news.
We're going to get to the news. I just got there we go. I'm taking a picture of the smokestack and I'm sending it to him.
Is that where your smoking lounge is?
Yeah.
We drove by it. I will say it does exist. We did drive by.
We didn't go in?
No. You and
I took Rudy in.
Yeah.
I took Rudy in.
Where were we?
Women aren't allowed in there.
No. Well.
Maybe I think we're getting ready. I think we were in the hotel or.
Yeah, they were getting ready. You know how women are. They were getting ready.
Where the fuck were we?
Smoking cigs.
There was one night.
Yeah.
The very first night we got there, I dropped y'all off the hotel and me and him ran over to West Point. We did a couple things.
What else did
weird.
You guys do?
You guys go to like
took him down to the property and we rode a four wheeler a little bit.
I went. I was.
You, we were at the four.
You.
We
I took
the
you the next day and did the same thing.
That's right because Uncle Donnie. That's right. You told Uncle Donnie that Rudy worked for the Biden campaign.
I did, and Uncle Donnie told him to get the fuck off his property.
That's awesome.
All right,
Uncle Donnie would.
Yeah, you and Uncle Donnie would get along well.
We had a good time.
So.
Uncle Donnie liked me.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little bit of news. And then we're going to rank the Big 12 coaches. Last week we did the SEC and the Big 10.
Yes.
We're going to rank the Big 12 coaches. And then I am introducing, me and Jack actually are introducing, it is March, means it's bracket month. We'll do a bracket every show. We will have a 32-person college football media member bracket. And we will
I love that.
We have seeded it. We're going to work through.
Yeah, they were doing it as I walked in.
We have the bracket ready.
You don't have.
I wanted to.
Literally came together.
Here, yeah, I know what's. You know what's going to happen though is that I'm going to get mad at some of the rankings.
Some might have been designed to elicit that reaction. Sure.
I know exactly. Like, I'm sure that you've purposely ranked people in certain places just to piss me off.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I knew it. I knew this was a job.
It is not a job.
It's a job.
Oh, no.
Speaking of, why don't you get your fire take off real quick? Because just the other day, Art Briles came out and said, hey, not going to be the Grambling offensive coordinator. Was going to be the Grambling offensive coordinator. And we tried to sneak it in under the wire. We tried to tell you the day that Ukraine got invaded by Russia. But nope, too much of a stink. He puts out a statement. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be part of your coaching staff at Grambling State University. Unfortunately, I feel that my continued presence will be a distraction to you and your team, which is the last thing that I want. I have the utmost respect for the university and your players, Art. Art Briles, no longer at Grambling. Now, before you talk, I must go ahead and put the tombstone in the ground here. This seems like the end of Art Briles' coaching career.
It should have been before.
Well, I guess it was before because he didn't actually coach here.
I mean, he was there for four fucking days.
Yeah.
Literally 4 days.
If he can't get hired to Grambling and go under the radar and start over there.
When we're going to war, by the way. Like, you talk about a news dump.
We're not going to war yet.
Well,
it was also the taxes.
You know what I mean.
You know what I mean. Taxes, too.
I'm saying that, like, on a day where something in the world is happening, you still can't get this past us. You're done, sir.
Yeah, it is.
So I will say this. My girl Joy Taylor had a fantastic rant. Obviously, they can't swear anything on their show, but she was very articulate, said it very well. This is the thing. There were 32 players accused. I believe it was 32. You can double check me on that. 32 players at the Baylor program under Art Briles that were accused of either sexual assault or rape. 51 counts. I believe those are the numbers. This man has no business being around young men. I'm not saying he did anything. He didn't hurt anybody. But you cannot be a head football coach of a culture that was allowing that to go on under the radar because it's a public or a private university. So it wasn't like it was public information for a long time. And then you can't give this man another job in college football. You just simply cannot.
Well, this was the litmus test, right? This was, a SWAC team that is, kind of off the radar as far as major college football, but still
a piece of shit.
Still a job, and they hired him, and the blowback was too much. The Art Briles story is pretty much over, I think.
It should have been over a long time ago, and I don't know, Katie, if you'll actually check those numbers, because if those numbers are way off.
They're a little bit off, but.
What are they?
There's a lot of controversy over what the exact numbers are. At first, when he got fired, it was 5.
Oh, no.
And then there was another investigation done by another firm that said it was closer to 17 or 18.
Why did I think 30?
I saw something earlier today that said 31. Maybe that was a different. I read through a lot of scandals today.
I just know there's.
I think it was 30. But regardless.
Yeah.
It was, you know what, Jack? One's too many.
No, yeah. It's
one is too many. But the fact that, like, this was a. He was cultivating a situation with this football team where these players had zero accountability. Baylor was a dumpster fucking fire. And the Baylor fans that stood behind him, you are also bad people. Because it's not like a one-off thing. Like, yes, bad things happen in every single university. I mean, I had, like, one of A&M's players got arrested today for domestic violence. But it's just, like, bad things happen. And that sucks. If your entire football team is being held to a different standard because you just aren't reporting it?
The thing at Baylor, it was an institution thing, not necessarily just the football program.
Right, but
there was a massive, like, if there was an institutional failure at Baylor.
100%. But he knew about it. That's the thing.
The controversy is, yeah.
Like, Art Briles knew what was going on and didn't do shit about it.
And he's done. His career's over.
It's done. And, like, listen, and Joy said it, you know, we all fuck up. We all make mistakes. This is not a mistake that you then allow him to try to rectify and be like, all right, listen, I knew this was going on, and I know there are going to be Baylor fans who are like, he didn't know. Yes, he fucking did. Read something one fucking time. He doesn't deserve to coach college kids. He doesn't deserve a coaching job. And I don't know why Grambling even thought he should in the first place. Like, what did Grambling State think was going to happen?
Well, it was a miscalculation, and they thought it could be a rehab situation, and it just...
How do you rehab being a monster?
There have been a lot of awful people rehabbed in college football before.
That's true.
I'm not saying that Art Briles belongs to his own. I'm just saying there have been awful people rehabbed in sports before as well.
Absolutely. No, for sure. I think that the bigger thing is because it is college kids. Like, that is the thing. It's like you are a – like, it's not like in a professional sport where you're all adults, you're all getting paid. Like, putting him back in a locker room with 18 to 23-year-old kids after what happened at Baylor is just unacceptable.
It's
unacceptable.
It's well said, Casey. Hold on just a second.
I swear it was 31.
No, it's fine.
What's going on?
Why is the phone not ringing?
Are we calling Art Briles or something?
I'm not calling Art Briles. You think I'm stupid?
Katie, where did you see the 31?
I don't want to cite the source or the website. But
I think there was...
It was a list of...
At Baylor... It was an institutional failure. There was maybe the 31 was the amount.
What's he doing?
Maybe he's calling Mincy.
He's probably calling one of the storm chasers. Oh no, he's calling two brothers to let them know they're coming, even though they said not to.
I hope he doesn't get
phone scratchy.
Yeah.
Are you about to get screened? Live on the podcast?
Am I getting screened? No, there's probably just... It's a restaurant. They might not be there yet.
It's 4:15.
It's 3:15 there.
You should be doing prep anyway.
Good point, Katie.
Maybe they're busy, though.
It's not a big deal.
When you have connects, call the cell phone. Call personal cells.
Yeah.
I have a new phone. And the way my account's set up...
Do you want me to... I have one of the guys' Instagrams. Want me to DM them?
Who Instagrams? What are you... Wait a minute.
What do you mean?
You still have one of the guy's Instagrams from Two Brothers?
Yeah.
When we went?
Yeah.
Look at you.
I just follow him. It's not that to follow.
I don't remember. Whatever. I'm going to call him back in a minute. All right.
We don't have to talk about him anymore. He's a piece of shit. He's always been a piece of shit.
Not a whole lot of news anyway.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Oklahoma and Texas.
Oh,
it doesn't look like they're going to the SEC until 2024. At least until 2025. Texas has the money to do it tomorrow, but Texas wants to go with Oklahoma. I think the SEC is saying that too, because that throws everything off. If Texas comes before Oklahoma, against the $80 million Texas can get tomorrow, Oklahoma can't.
How can they not get $80 million?
Hold on. And now that the rest of college football has shut down the playoff till 2026, there's no real hurry here. If I'm Texas and Oklahoma, I stay back, take two more swings at making the playoff from a worse conference, and then I'll move when it's time to move, or three more swings.
How can Oklahoma not raise $80 million?
They can have $80 million tonight if they want to, too. Yeah. Probably not as easily as Texas can.
Well, no.
But any major Division I college
Oklahoma.
Can do
what
did you
we
see
about?
The clip of Kim Mulkey?
What'd she say?
It was very funny. She said that
LSU basketball coach,
women's basketball, I guess, kind of during their last coach, did not have a great tenure. And then they were good before. Then she comes and she obviously was a great coach at Baylor. And LSU's having a return season this year. And she said, we're not back yet. There's a lot of situations where players come back. It happens in college football. They win some bowl game and they say, we're back. And it was an obvious shot at
it. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful. Because she was at Baylor when that happened, right?
She was.
Yeah, that's what makes fun. How are you feeling? You got thrown on the wrestling. Did you see that, Casey?
Yeah, I did.
Doesn't care about me, Jack.
Yes, I do.
I got texts of great concern from Casey, from Katie and Jack.
Would you like to tell the people what you were texting me about?
Zero. No, I don't remember. What was I texting you? I'd have to look.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
By the way,
yeah.
Anybody out there, if you're looking for college football content.
That was weeks ago.
That was not. That was last week.
It was not.
Coach Prime is out. This is the fall season edition.
Mm-hmm.
There is 3 episodes out as of right now. I think the fourth will come out probably tomorrow. And it's really good.
It's hitting millions of views on Facebook.
Yeah, and YouTube too. Like 200,000 people watched the first episode, I'm sure.
You can
binge the whole thing. You can binge the spring season edition. I would say go check it out. It's great content.
It was last week.
It was last week, I told you. I know. It's fantastic. The whole team did a great job. And also,
a lot of drama this season, especially with Deion's injury.
Right, with Deion's injury. And that was like people didn't understand how bad it was. Like we knew how bad it was because we work with him every single week. Like people did not understand. Like this man was in the ICU for a long time. So and the whole crew did such a good job. The fact, by the way, that Dana is getting shouted out on Jimmy Fallon.
I don't even think that's the crazy fact. The crazy fact of Dana turning out to be a very, very competent and capable producer who can produce something as good as this is amazing.
He did this with the Barstool documentary.
But Dana, he plays an idiot on Twitter.
That is true.
Yeah.
Well, he has two completely different personalities. I mean, but
there's
also
a lot of great people behind the scenes.
He's very, very, very good at what he does.
That work for Coach Prime, like, what's his name?
Booze is great.
This crazy man who works here now that just runs around on the phone. His name's Dave. He
I thought that was Mincy.
Yes. This guy is not. Never mind.
I texted you Tuesday, February 22nd. I said, I have something to say. It's very important.
Yeah, and then we're going to stop there.
And you said, what's up? And then I said what I said.
Yeah. Yeah. He said what he said.
I stand by it.
I stand by it, too. I even sent you a photo, but
she's so hot.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
ready to rank Big 12 coaches?
Yes. Oh, well, no. First of all, I did. I was going to say, I looked at y'all's coaches from last week.
Who do you think did better?
Okay. I have some notes.
Okay.
Now, I think both of you did a very good job.
Okay.
Okay. I agreed more with your SEC list.
Pointing at me.
Brandon, I'm pointing at Brandon. The one qualm that I have with both of you is that I would put Mike Leach ahead of Sam Pittman. And I understand Sam Pittman has done well at Arkansas, but I still think Mike Leach is a better coach. Mm. I'm also looking at these lists. I don't know how you guys did it. You know, I always get in these semantics wars when we do this. If I was picking the coach for my team.
Okay.
So if I was picking a coach for my team, I would take Mike Leach over Sam Pittman.
Okay.
The hard thing that I had with Brian Kelly was that, and I understand he was successful at Notre Dame, but every time he played an SEC team, he got his shit kicked in.
Well, so does everybody else.
That's what I'm saying. So it's how you guys had him at what, 3?
I had him at 4, I think.
Yeah, you guys.
Jimbo, I think 3.
That's right. You had
Kirby, Jimbo.
3 national title coaches.
And then Brian Kelly.
So I don't know where I would put Brian Kelly. I don't think he should be low on the list by any stretch of the imagination. But like, I think it's a little too early to say he's the fourth best coach behind Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, who obviously have won SEC titles.
Look who else is in the league. I can't say Lane Kiffin's better than Brian Kelly. I can't say
better
than Brian Kelly. Mark Stoops, I can't say he's better than Brian Kelly.
I know that, but that was the one I was just like, we just don't know. That one was a question mark
for me.
So
you agree with his Big Ten list more?
Both of y'all's Big Ten lists were pretty similar, right? Let me look at this. So, yeah, so I agreed. But Jack, both of y'all's lists were great. All the people who were mad that Jim Harbaugh is number 2 are fucking stupid.
You're so dumb.
So dumb. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh is number 2. I mean, that is ridiculous.
Like, what are we talking about here?
I agree with Brandon having Mel Tucker much higher. I think Mel Tucker should be higher. I don't think James Franklin should be at number 3.
Who do you replace him with? That's my problem.
Mel Tucker?
I would almost, I would almost move James Franklin if I'm, I mean, I'm looking at this list. So James Franklin is at 3, Mel Tucker's at 4, Kirk Ferentz is at 5. I think Kirk Ferentz should probably be a little bit higher. Mel Tucker should be higher. I just, James Franklin, it's like every year, it's like it's his year, and then they somehow shit
the bed. I think that's a little bit misrepresenting. I don't think every year it's his year.
So James Franklin?
Oh, every year it feels like Penn State.
And James Franklin, like, look at what Vandy is. He had them competing
that is,
the SEC.
For sure. But, I mean, when like I would put Mel Tucker ahead of James Franklin.
No, I mean, obviously, looking at my list.
But I'm also – I'm going off of who I would – like right now today, if
okay,
they
yeah,
said,
yeah, yeah.
Casey Smith, who do you want to coach Texas A&M from the Big
oh,
Ten?
Oh, God. You'd much rather want James Franklin. That motherfucker would be a recruiting nightmare at Texas.
Like the players love
Jimbo
like
2.0. Like right. He doesn't care.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that like he doesn't like Penn State fans don't like James Franklin. I don't want
Penn State fans have put. I'm not always agreed with Penn State fans James on Frank? What they put up with. Yeah.
He just seems like an asshole.
Fair. He is.
He seems
an asshole.
Like an asshole. But I also think like and I know Mel Tucker
Saban's
obviously
an asshole.
Well, that is true. But Nick Saban wins national titles.
It's true.
James Franklin doesn't. I think having Tom Allen last, Jack, is not right.
There isn't a bad coach in the Big Ten. That's the problem.
That is the problem, yeah. No, I mean, I think you guys did a really good job.
This conference today is...
This conference is hard. Earlier...
easy time doing
this. You were fine doing this?
See, I asked Brandon earlier. I was like, should we do another conference? And he asked me which one I thought we should do. And I said the Big 12 because I would rather rank the Big 12. Pac-12 is definitely last, by the way.
The logos. But
of course she does. Katie can't.
I looked up a graphic. This was the one.
Always have to have butt.
I didn't even notice it.
This one was hard for me too.
You brought your list?
Yeah.
Nice.
This one was hard for me.
Did you see the guy saying that we were sexist for not letting you have your list?
Yeah.
Oh, and also sexist that I was. I wasn't. My
we all have lists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna start from 10 and go 10, 9, or we're gonna start from 1, go 1.
No, I think we should start from the bottom.
Okay.
Let's start from the bottom and then.
Because I think the bottom are all going to be pretty similar.
Very aggressively there.
I don't care.
Why.
All right, fuck.
Yeah, I said it.
Started from the bottom.
Fine.
From the bottom.
No, yeah, no, we're going to start from the bottom.
Okay.
Okay. So wait, I obviously was not here last week. Did you guys give reasons why, or we just think?
We kind of like
when they
Brandon would
disagreed.
Say his list, I'd be like, yeah, I have him there.
Okay. All right. No. So we'll
I
start.
Also, like, by the way, I'd like to apologize to Brandon really quick. Remember when a couple weeks ago he wasn't here? And we said he wasn't going to listen to the podcast. And we were like, oh, of course he's not.
Oh, yeah. But did you hear what he said about you on last week?
She didn't listen to it.
Oh, wow. That was a test.
She didn't listen.
He actually said something nice.
What did he say?
Nothing.
No, you have to go listen. I was going to send it to you, but then I was like, I know she's busy. I actually probably should have sent it.
What was it?
You apologize.
Oh, he stood,
you didn't listen.
He was like, he stood up for his podcast host.
Why? Was somebody mean to me or something?
Just relax.
One bozo.
Yeah. Can we just move on?
It's good.
It's good.
Me.
But like somebody hates me
good,
or something?
Right?
Yes, it was good.
It's a fucker on Reddit.
It's a Reddit guy.
It's a guy on Reddit that always like recaps the show and he embellishes to make it seem like you've said stuff you don't say and makes it seem like you talk about A&M like 45 minutes every show and you don't.
Johnny.
And he just lies about you to get the other Redditors who don't like you to like him. And I said that's bullshit.
Thank you,
all
Brandon.
Right. You're
it's very sweet.
Y'all ready to go start at number 10?
Yeah, number 10.
Jack, before we go any further, there's something I've been wanting to talk to you about.
Okay.
I hope you don't mind if we talk about it here.
Oh, no. This is a personal, but also...
Yeah. Jack, I want to talk to you about my penis.
Oh, yours. This
oh, no.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about my penis because my penis has been through the wars, man. It's had a successful career. It's winding down now, but my penis has... Me and my penis have been like this throughout my entire life.
Hopefully it's still like that.
And it sometimes, though, when my penis goes to battle, sometimes...
I see what you're saying. Yeah, no,
sometimes it wants to lay down early in the war.
Not every battle is perfect.
Not every battle is perfect. Not every strategy is perfect. Sometimes you got to think about baseball. You got to think about sunflowers. You got to think about whatever you can to keep your penis at attention, right? Mm. That's for the sex.
Yep.
There is something that can keep that old big boy hard. Keep him upright. Keep
yes.
him going. Keep him mad. Keep him angry. You want an angry dick. I want that growling. That growling ass dick.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Most guys have tried ways to last longer, but thinking about baseball doesn't always work. The folks at Roman.
You can't think about baseball anymore anyways.
An online men's health company are changing the game with Roman Swipes. The secret to longer-lasting sex. They're a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. Effective, easy to use, fast-acting. No prescription required. They can ship swipes to you in discreet packaging. It's unmarked. And each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. So when you're going to battle.
Yes.
And you're sitting down there and saying, all right, dick, let's go. And you don't give your dick a pep talk. No, you go to your wallet. You open up the discreet packaging. You swipe it on there. Boom! Wartime.
Wartime. Wartime.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. But your penis will be good for everything.
Hold. Hold.
Hold. Hold.
Hold.
Hold.
Yes.
Attack.
Attack.
Did that work?
Yeah, I think
so. I guess so.
No, it works. Roman Swipes. It keeps that dick hard.
And I think you have an offer for us.
I do have an offer. Go to GetRoman.com/Walker. You think hard dicks? Think of this face. Go to GetRoman.com/Walker to get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/Walker. Look at me. Think hard dicks.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Sonny Dykes.
What?
What?
That's fine. He said Sonny Dykes, but.
Or are we concluding? Oh.
Why does he get to go first?
Right. That was.
I just wanted to get it going.
I forgot he was in there.
I went, okay, well, Kate, that's a,
well, Katie, that's
a
problem.
The list is.
I carry Patterson in mind.
Okay, well, we're going to need you to redo your list immediately.
It's okay.
She's got Max.
It's in the same area.
Yeah, all right.
Cliff Kingsbury is definitely yeah. Yeah. Cliff's at tech.
Number 10. Jesus Christ. Katie's got Charlie Strong. Number 10, I got Neil Brown, West Virginia. Just hasn't been able to get it going. They're not very good. And I don't see the promise here. That's my number 10.
My number 10 is Lance Leopold. I understand that they won two games last
year. Leopold.
Leopold, whatever. It is Leopold. You're right. I wrote Leopold. That's my problem.
We have a huge difference here.
I love this. Okay, so I have him last. Now, I know he did get them to win two games last year, including beating Texas. But it is at Kansas. And again, the way I'm doing my list is who I would hire as a head coach right now, and I would not hire him. He's my number 10.
All right, Jack, you've got 10 Sonny Dykes.
Yeah.
Katie.
Matt Wells.
What?
What?
Katie, you got to keep up.
I've been tired.
Okay. Ooh. You want to sit this one out?
I just Googled it.
It's Joey McGuire's at Texas Tech.
Oh, right. Well,
remember, we had the whole conversation. Number nine.
Katie.
Number nine.
Number nine.
No, number nine. Number nine is, and this is one of those that never been a head coach, never proven anything. He could rise up these ranks quickly, but I got Joey McGuire, number nine, Texas Tech.
I have Joey McGuire also at number nine, Texas Tech. He's the least experienced.
I have met my number 10.
Well, you didn't know he existed until seconds ago.
You want to go read through 15,000 applications?
No, I don't. Relax.
Don't give me that.
What's number nine?
We all said
I have number nine through five, all just one little.
You know what? We're gonna do yours last. I feel like yours is gonna be a separate conversation.
Yeah, let's have Katie have her own segment.
Number eight, I've got Sonny Dykes. He did well at SMU. He's done well other places. So I've got Sonny Dykes 8.
I have, for the same reason you have him at 10, I have Neil Brown. He's just not been able to get it going. Number 8, Neil Brown.
I have Lance Leipold at 8.
All right.
He's not bad.
At 7? No, I don't think there's really many bad coaches here.
No.
At number 7, I have Chris Kleiman, head coach, Kansas State University. I thought he'd be a top 3 head coach in the Big 12 when he started, but hasn't really gone
really
that direction.
Liked him.
I loved him, but he hasn't done great since that first good year.
It's Kleiman against Oklahoma, though.
Yeah, well, that says a lot about Oklahoma. Chris Kleiman, number 7.
Number 7, I have Sonny Dykes because he has made SMU relevant again.
All right, I have Neil Brown.
All right.
At 7.
6, Steve Sarkisian, Texas. Mm-hmm. They could have done a lot better than they did in his first year. I think there was enough talent offensively to put something on the field that was worthy of making a bowl, beating Kansas, and he didn't. So maybe he turns it around in year 2, and Jack, I think he will. Mm-hmm. But as of now, I've got him number 6.
Stupid. Guess what?
Yes.
Number 6, Steve Sarkisian.
There it is.
Oh, he's a great recruiter, obviously, like you said, top five class, blah, blah, blah. The fact that they didn't even make a bowl game in his first year is pathetic with the talent that Texas has.
All right, Jack, six.
I have Chris Klieman at number six.
All right. Number five, the guy walked into Kansas, beat Texas, and all but beat Oklahoma in his first year with talent that didn't belong anywhere near those. And he's going to get Kansas going a little bit. I got Lance Leipold, number five.
That is a crazy difference between me and you.
Yeah, it's
okay, but here's my question with that.
Fine.
Would you want him?
I'd be fine with him. Yeah.
Over Mike Leach?
No. I mean, Mike Leach is the head coach. But if we came open tomorrow and we interviewed Lance Leipold, I would be fine.
Over all the other guys that you mentioned already?
Certainly over all the other guys I mentioned already.
Okay. What number are we on?
We're at five.
Mike Gundy.
That seems very low.
The reason I have Mike Gundy there, great coach, but they never can get over that hump, ever. You know it. You know what I'm talking about, too. Every year it's like, oh, this is going to be Oklahoma State's year. This is going to do it. They're going to do it. And they fuck up every single time. He usually says some dumb shit, too. But the thing is like he's been there for so long, and they've never gotten over that hump.
But a race car that always finishes second or third is still a fast-ass race car.
Yeah, really good, yeah.
Yeah, no. Again, I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm just saying the other coaches that I have, four ahead of him.
That's fine. Who's your five?
Sark.
Steve Sarkisian. Okay. Number four. This feels a little high for me, but he's never proven it. I assume he's going to be pretty good. Brent Venables, Oklahoma.
Yep, okay. That's a good one.
I have Chris Klieman at number four,
all right.
Which I know that they obviously had a bad year last year.
Right.
But he still had 2 8-win seasons at Kansas State. He consistently gives Oklahoma problems. We all like love that game. I think you were so high on him, which is why you're so low on him now. Mm-hmm. I think he's somewhere in the middle of where you've been on him.
Jack, number four,
Matt Campbell,
Iowa State.
Yes.
So it seems like you have him the lowest of all of us.
Yeah, but he's done a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. I think this year was a little bit of a disappointment for me, and even the year before that as well. I think they had the potential to really take the Big 12 by storm with Oklahoma down a little bit, Texas down a little bit. They could have been what Oklahoma State was, but they weren't. And that's why I have other coaches firmly above him.
All right, number three, Matt Campbell, Iowa State.
Number three, Matt Campbell, Iowa State.
All right, so there you go. So,
wait, Jack didn't do his number three.
Yeah, what?
Venables is my number three.
Venables is your number three, okay.
Yeah, I think he's, just from how many offers he's had.
You've got Venables in your top two.
I do.
Wow.
You've got
People are going to hate your list.
You've got
Fuck
Venables.
You, Jack.
No, it doesn't matter. They're not
concerned. We're all going to have the same number one.
Well, we all have the same number one.
I thought I was being...
Me too.
Edgy when I...
No, we all have the same number one.
I thought I was being edgy too.
All right. It's going to look weird having it across the board. I might switch midair here.
No. What? No. You stick with your list. We don't look at each other's lists. Who's your number two?
Number two?
Yeah.
Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State. Again, a race car that finishes second and third in the race is pretty fucking fast. No, he hasn't gotten over the hump, but fuck, getting to the hump at Oklahoma State when you're sharing a conference with Oklahoma and Texas every year, and you're delivering what they want to be delivered. Gundy's a great coach. He's a consistent coach.
It's like you're acting like I had him at number 10.
No, I'm not. I'm not acting like that.
Top five coach. My number two is Brett Venables.
Brent Venables.
Brent Venables, yes. Because I feel like people are not giving him enough love because he's never been a head coach, but he is one hell of a coordinator, and he's handled this Oklahoma shit so well.
You got the graphic wrong. You put Venables under me.
Can we worry about that? I'll fix it.
I know, but you put
Venables. I get it. I'll fix it.
Can you do it now? I don't want Venables at number two on my list. Get him off.
Number two on my list.
Yes, number two on your list.
Yeah, because I think – so I was like kind of trolling around online today, like just seeing where other outlets like rank him. I was seeing people were ranking him at like number 9 and number 10 because he's never been a head coach before, but that's ridiculous. Like he's – I understand that, but he's coming into Oklahoma with Oklahoma's talent, and he's been one of the best coordinators in the country for one of the best programs in the country for a while. So he's my number two head coach.
Jack, your number two?
Gundy.
Yeah, mine too. So that leaves us all to just
should we all say it
one good season. We're all across the board. Number one, Dave Aranda. Baylor.
Dave Aranda.
All of us.
All of us.
I don't know. And
that pains me. It pains me, but it's true.
I do think he's a great coach.
He's a great coach. And that's my point with Venables, too, is that Dave Aranda was one fucking hell of a coordinator, and then he goes into the Big 12, and he's able to prove that he can also be a head coach, and I think that's going to happen with Venables, too.
Is this a good look, us all putting out Aranda?
I mean, it's what we did.
Yeah, I guess we all came up with our own list.
What I mean?
Katie, you're going to put somebody other than Aranda, sorry.
Sure. Wait, what? What'd you say?
She has to put somebody other than Aranda.
Matt Rule.
Mm-hmm.
Just relax. Okay.
Having someone.
All right, so there you go. There's our Big 12 coaches. You want to say your list? Or
I thought you were going to be edgy with Aranda.
He did. Jackson, he did too.
I thought I was for sure that we all would have him as number one.
I mean, I
who else would you have thought?
Gundy. I think Gundy has a good
I do.
Frankly,
I feel
Campbell is up there as a coach too.
Yeah, I have Matt Campbell at three.
If
yeah.
Campbell had when he came in the season number eight this year, if he had delivered a top 10 season throughout, I think he could have been number one pretty easily.
I'm looking at my handwriting right here. I really just fucked up everybody's names.
I mean, let's say Sark goes on a run this year. He could easily be number one next year.
Oh, same all of these lists.
Well, yeah, these lists.
Roy McGuire at nine. If he starts out 8-4 at Texas Tech, he's going to jump in the top five.
If Dave Aranda could pull what Matt Campbell did, he was great in the COVID year and then fell off.
He could. Dave Aranda could fall off. That's
true. Well, and like you said, like
identical.
Lance Leipold could be really good. I mean, he could get him to win four games next year.
That's my talk.
You can move him up. But you just can't put the head coach of Kansas anywhere near the top.
He's like where Clark can. Lee. You don't really know how good he is until recruiting matches.
I think Lance Leipold's really good.
I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I mean, obviously they beat Texas, but
won like eight national championships in Division III at Wisconsin Whitewater. Then he went to Buffalo, which doesn't have the best history in the MAC, and won there. It's believable that he's a very good coach. But one more, he did have some bad games for Kansas this year.
All right, Katie, let's talk a little logistics before we go into this next thing. So we're going to do a 32 member bracket here.
Wait, is she not giving her list?
He looked at it and moved on.
No, I didn't. She's going to give her list. Now I'm in the logistical conversation. Let's just have that and I'll circle back and get your list. 32 member bracket, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got them all seated. If we can find a bracket template.
I can do that.
Just put them 1-16, face it. It's a 32 team. And then I got them seated, and we can just put out the bracket blank. We're going to go through it.
Yeah.
Just with the first round matchups.
Then, yeah, day or two.
We're just doing first round?
No, we're going to go all the way through it.
Today?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant we were doing this all of March.
No, we're going to do a different bracket every Wednesday.
Okay, so how is this going to work? Because our brackets are all going to be different.
No, we're gonna come to a consensus.
Oh boy, that's not gonna work.
We're gonna come to a consensus.
Oh,
that's why
I can already fucking tell you that's not gonna work.
That's why this is gonna work. All right, Katie. Sorry.
Same as Jack. It's Aranda, Gundy, Venables, Campbell, Sark. But then I feel like you could. For me, I just did Brown, Dykes, Kleiman, Leipold, and McGuire the same. They're all interchangeable for me.
By the way, we're changing Lance Leipold's name to Leipold.
It's Leipold.
Leipold, whatever. It sounds way fucking cooler as Leipold.
It does. And I wish his name was Lance Leipold. It's not. And we're going to have to do scandals next week because I forgot to do it.
I literally told you 2 hours.
I know that you did. I forgot to do it.
But you did.
I got on
great prep for next week.
I got on
all the list of
them. Yes, that's.
So last week on the on the Brandon Walker show, Paige Browning called and said, hey, I think you should rank the top scandals in college football history.
There's a delusional.
That's traffic for the boys. He's delusional. Roll Tide. See how stupid he is? He's so stupid.
Have you heard of what he calls girls, hot girls?
What does he call them?
Bags.
Oh, is this a new Marty Mush?
No, because you want to buy them a nice bag.
Yeah, it's like
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that was
that's everyone. The reasoning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like she's like a Louis Vuitton bag.
Well, that like if you're like, oh yeah, she's a Louis Vuitton, that makes sense. But like, wait, does he call them just bags or does he actually rank? Like, does he say, like, oh, she's a Louis Vuitton? Or
no.
She just calls them bags. Like, there's bags at the party.
Oh, God.
I just emailed you the bracket.
Okay, cool.
Doesn't Marty say bags for, like, old women.
Oh, everything.
Yeah, that's what I know. I put on Twitter. I'm like, if a girl is described as a bag, is that a good or bad thing? I
think like a very bad thing.
Bad one.
Like a bad thing. I love the scandals list, by the way. I looked at it earlier. Katie showed it to me. I mean, I can already tell you what my absolute last scandal is. It's not, I don't
know. Some of them I didn't even know about. Some of them go back a bit. We might want to change
it. This one's going to be tough. This is a tough list.
God, it's amazing. I almost think, okay, yeah. Jameis Winston belongs on there once, but not twice. I don't think Crab Legs belongs there, but the...
Rape does.
Crab Legs is hysterical. Me and Jack agree. The Crab Legs was him taking the fall for the free hookup at Publix.
Yes, exactly.
But then his other scandal was...
So we maybe...
It's a rape.
Publix. Somebody at Publix did something that they didn't realize was... Like, they didn't know who Jameis Winston was. And then they're like, wait, we can't...
I don't know what Oak State and Orange Pride is.
Basically... like they're not boosted
recruiting
like
girls.
Yeah, oh, okay. Like prostitutes and just, they were prostitutes.
Well, I mean, we can't go through the list if we're gonna do it next week.
UNC paper class. Oh, you're right.
Wow, you don't have Cam Newton throwing his.
I don't think
Cam Newton throwing his lap. Do you have Florida? Any Florida?
Well, Urban
I'll tell
Meyer.
You what she doesn't have
Penn State.
I should have Urban Meyer and Florida.
Penn State.
Oh, she has Penn State.
That's Joe Paul right there.
Oh yeah, right there.
You should probably do one like minus
Bobby
allegation.
Petrino in the neck brace.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Petrino, yeah.
Add that one in there. We can't go through them all now.
Right, right, you're right. We're going to get to our bracket in just a second.
Who are we calling now?
Same place.
She knows me so well. She's way over there.
You know what she doesn't have, Brandon?
What? You freeze?
You freeze.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Hey, is this Two Brothers?
Yes.
Is there a manager present? Hey, I'm Brandon Walker from Barstool Sports.
Ah. Okay.
Tonight, we're sending I'm sending the Storm Chasers down to go to Mississippi State game, and they were wondering where they should eat in Starkville, and I said they got to go to Two Brothers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Can we make sure we treat them well, and then whatever cost they accrue, can I take care of that later? Okay, I usually talk to, I don't know if Barton's still there, but I used to talk to Barton.
Okay. Oh, no, he just walked out.
Okay. If he comes back at all today or if you talk to him, can you just have him call me or somebody?
Yeah, give me 1 second. He might have walked back in the office.
Yeah.
I'm gonna run back there and check, okay?
Thank you. I thought he might.
The fact that you had to say Barstool Sports, though, they should just know you with Brandon Walker.
She was
active manager didn't know.
Yeah.
He's a key manager. It's the middle of the day, you know?
Just relax. Oh.
Oh.
Nice.
Two brothers moving up in the world.
Yeah. Oh, that's
what a nice.
It's almost, it feels like the wedding party's filing out. Doesn't it?
No, it feels like I'm in an elevator.
I think it's.
I haven't been to a wedding in living memory.
Hey, are you still there?
Yeah, I am. Okay.
Just give me like just a second.
Well, that's all right. He can call me. He's got my number. He can call me in a little bit.
Okay. Just, that sounds good. I'll let him know.
It's Brandon Walker with Barstool Sports. Thank you very much.
Got it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. did you love her voice?
Yeah. And she, it was perfect. I loved how excited she was when you were like, I told him to send him to Two Brothers. She's like, oh, thank you so much.
All right. So. Here we go.
I don't. You know that this is going to cause a fight.
You need to relax. This isn't going to be that bad.
Because I'm looking at your face.
Jack, is this going to be that bad?
Jack.
All right. So we took.
I do trust Jack, but I
32 college football members. 32 college football members. And then we seated them 1 through 16 in two brackets. Okay.
Is it? Do we have it on the screen?
I'm working on it.
Don't.
So we're just gonna.
I'm gonna see if I can. I have the numbers.
Yeah, I'm just gonna freeball it. We're just gonna freeball. Don't show her the goddamn bracket.
I have to.
Yeah, we're gonna work through it together.
God. Okay.
Fuck, not on you, Katie. It's on Casey for asking you to do that.
What? I figured we were gonna have like a bracket, like.
Well, we didn't. We just did this 20 minutes before the goddamn show.
Well, that's like saying like, oh, the March Madness bracket. Let's just. It's just empty.
I'm gonna fill it out and then put it on the screen.
First 1-16. Keith.
Hold on, we're staring at each other right now.
Yeah.
I won. All right. Are you ready for the 116 matchup in the KC region, KC Smith region?
Oh, we have regions.
Yes.
We do now.
Okay, the KC Smith, does that have anything to do with, like, the people that I know?
You're thinking too much.
Of course I am. I'm a girl.
The 1-16 matchup, college football media members.
Okay.
Number 1, Kirk Herbstreit. Number 1 overall seed in the tournament. I think he's earned it. Baby blue eyes. Beautiful man. The number 16 seed in the KC Smith region, USA Today columnist Dan Wolken.
We can put Kirk.
I mean Kirk.
Yeah, of course. That's how this is going to work.
Okay. All right. Easy, Kirk.
All right. So Kirk advances past Dan Wolken.
If anybody even thought about Dan Wolken listening to this, you're a buffoon.
Yes, Kirk. See how it works, though? Don't you think Dan Wolken deserves the 16 seed because he's an asshole?
Yes.
And Kirk definitely deserves number 1 seed.
Oh, I mean, those eyes alone do.
The 8-9 in the KC Smith region.
Oh, we're going 8-9 now. This is going to be tough.
The 2 ESPN analysts.
Okay.
Former Heisman Trophy winner Desmond Howard, the 9 seed. Against 8 seed, former 3-time All-American David Pollack.
Ooh, that's a good one.
These guys lock horns frequently on ESPN, but they both are passionate. I think they're both interesting. Desmond Howard against David Pollack. The 8-9s are tough.
I know. I like both of these guys a lot. I think I'm going to take Desmond Howard because I think he's funnier.
I think I'm going to take Desmond Howard too. Desmond Howard gets me more worked up, and I think that's a good thing.
Like, David Pollack is incredibly knowledgeable about the game, and he's very articulate about it.
Yeah.
Like, Desmond Howard gets you worked up. Like, on game day, when he starts laughing, like, that laugh is contagious. And then also the Heisman pose.
We move on to the 5-12 matchup. There's often.
Oh, this is just me and you doing this.
Sure. We'll figure it out as we go along. Okay. The 5-12 matchup.
Okay.
As we know, there's often a 5-12 upset.
Yes.
We have in the KC Smith region, CBS lead announcer Brad Nessler.
Okay.
Certainly a great voice.
Fantastic voice.
He is against ESPN sideline reporter Laura Rutledge. Mm-hmm. Laura Rutledge, the 12th seed.
I mean, first of all, you did that on purpose.
Oh, she did not. She does NFL Live. Like,
she does NFL Live.
Football.
So we're only talking about – I mean, I'm obviously not going against Laura.
Okay.
But I mean, she's not just a sideline reporter. She also does SEC Nation. She also does NFL Live. She also does NFL Sidelines.
She can't win. Okay. So would you like me to take Laura Rutledge out and replace her with Holly Rowe?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that'd be easy. Nestle.
So she can lose? Throw Holly Rowe in so she can lose?
Of the tournament.
I mean, putting – like, you know that I'm going to – like, I'm never going to say Laura is losing.
Well, she can't win the tournament.
She might. Who knows? We'll see.
No. Well, Laura's out.
Laura's out now.
Okay. That's fair because that is a conflict of interest.
Okay.
That's a conflict of interest, but I would still, I mean, and again, no disrespect to Brad Nessler because his voice is incredible. He does a great job. Laura, more versatile.
So Brad Nessler against Holly Rowe.
Brad Nessler, easy. Holly Rowe is not very nice.
I know.
At least to me. She might be nice to other people. I don't know.
The 4-13 matchup is... And some of these are legacy guys.
Okay. Oh, I like that.
Legendary announcer Brent Musburger against another legend, Sean McDonough.
Oh, that's tough.
Sean McDonough might have caught a bad seed here.
He caught a bad seed. He's low.
I almost kind of think McDonough has a chance to win.
I think I would put McDonough.
I'm not trying to be an asshole. I just know the answer. Sean is S-E-A-N on this one. It's okay. I have to tell you.
Speak of a podcast, we can worry about spelling later.
Okay.
Point. It's like people can't see what she's doing. Only you can.
You want to upset Musburger with McDonough?
Yes, I do.
I disagree.
Tell us why.
Musburger was everything, man.
I mean, he's great, but Sean McDonough.
Over what? No.
I think McDonough just caught a bad seed. I think we'll put Musburger through. He caught a bad seed. There is going to have to be an upset here somewhere.
Okay,
McDonough
fine.
Caught a bad seed because he won Monday Night Football and it didn't work.
So did Tessitore.
Yeah, well, Tessitore ain't going to go far.
I don't know. Okay,
wait,
you know what?
What's the final?
Sean McDonough caught a bad seed, but I think we do have to put Musburger through.
All right, Musburger through.
We're looking live.
Yeah, we have to.
He's right. And
we have
Catherine
to.
Webb
and the I was about to tell the Catherine Webb thing. Like, Sean McDonough is very, very good, but we can't. He can't upset Musgrove.
All right, the 6-11 as we transition to the bottom half of the bracket here.
Brandon Walker region.
No, this is still the Casey Smith region.
Oh, we're still in my region. Okay.
Because there's only two regions.
Oh, yeah. There are only two regions. You're right.
So, although there could have been four. There's four of us.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Again, 20 minutes before the show. The sixth seed, Fox studio analyst Reggie Bush. Against 11 seed, maybe one of the best journalists in college football, Pete Thamel. Pete Thamel.
This one's tough because they do such different things.
I think Pete Thamel's a very low seeding.
I think I would put Pete Thamel through. Because, I mean, yes, Reggie is very good on TV, but Pete Thamel is one of the best. Like when I see Pete Thamel has put out an article or a story, I'm clicking on it.
All right. I have post notifications on for him. That's my
barometer. Pete Thamel is, like, you know, like, he is so reliably right all the time.
All right. We're going to put Thamel through. The 3 and the 14, ESPN, ABC, everything, Mr. Everything, Chris Fowler is the number 3 seed. And he is against the food guy, Andy Staples.
Oh, that's not fair. Andy on this show.
That is what it is.
Andy caught a low seed.
Very low.
You keep saying that, but there's all these people are good.
I know. Everybody's good on this list.
Right. Except for Holly Rowe. Right?
I mean, she's good at her job. She's just not very nice.
No. Sorry. Who put Staples through?
I love Andy.
Fowler through.
Oh, it's Chris Fowler, guys.
We got to put Chris Fowler through. But I love Andy. I think Andy's so great.
I'm in protest of this one.
You're in protest?
Yeah.
I mean, Andy is incredible, and he's very funny. But Chris Fowler is, like, legendary. Like, he's a legend.
Number 7.
Football.
We're going to see how far recently RIP goes. One of my favorite announcers of all time, Ron Franklin, has passed on. Against
nice
number
man.
10 seed, a lightning rod, Danny Cannell.
Ron Franklin.
I almost think you got to put Danny Cannell through.
Too.
Danny Cannell. Like,
he loves to troll.
He plays a dickbag. Let's go ahead and put Danny through to see how far he can go.
That's true. That's a good point. I mean, listen, like, Ron Franklin, I mean, incredible voice, really nice man. But if you see Danny Cannell firing off tweets, you know it's going to be something.
You know who got him fired? Who got Ron Franklin fired?
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. I can't believe you.
Here we go.
Laura in the 12 seed.
The 2 and the 15, and this might be the most anticipated first round matchup.
Oh.
2 seed, Uncle Vern Lundquist.
I mean, who could possibly this be?
It's.
Who could possibly be anybody?
Partner in crime.
Number 15 seed, CBS color commentator Gary Danielson.
I mean, Vern Lundquist.
The blow-up of the century, the clash of the titans.
Vern Lundquist.
They're
going to
fight over Nick Saban's cock.
A landslide. Vern Lundquist in a landslide.
So Vern Lundquist goes through.
Oh, I mean, do you have an argument against that?
I just kind of like putting him up against Gary Danielson.
That is funny. But, it couldn't be. And I know we're just doing college football. Like, Vern's like. Yeah. Masters calls too.
Maybe.
You just burn. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my favorite call of all time. I mean, that's an insulting matchup.
Now to the Brandon Walker region.
Okay.
Number 1 seed.
Yeah, we only did 32. That makes way more sense. I was like, there's 4 regions, but we only did 32 people. Okay.
Wonelly Keith Jackson.
Ooh.
Keith Jackson, one of the all-time greats. Number 16 seed, barely sneaking in, that piece of shit, Josh Pate. Put him in. We're doing him a favor by putting his ass in.
I couldn't believe he even got in.
He probably shouldn't have gotten in.
He should have been off the bubble.
It's charity. I'm trying to help the guy out. He's obviously going to get beat to death here. So Keith Jackson goes through.
102 to 53.
That bastard Josh Pate is out. No, don't even. Let's not even.
Okay. I thought you were being sarcastic. Okay.
Oh, no. Keith Jackson.
We'll just kill Josh.
I mean.
And in fairness, everybody in this bracket would kill Pate.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Holly Rowe. It wouldn't even be fair.
Yeah. Number 8. Oof, 8-9.
8-9's always tough.
8-9's tough. Former ESPN analyst Lou Holtz.
Oh.
against one of the more underrated color commentators, in my opinion. Guy's been there forever, Todd Blackledge.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Holtz against Todd Blackledge. Holtz that's... makes me mad. I'm putting Blackledge through.
I'm going to put Blackledge through, too.
Blackledge is good, and I don't think he gets the love.
He's one of those guys that, like, if you love college football, you really respect it. But if, like, you're just, like, a random fan and you're like, who's this guy?
Number five seed in the Brandon Walker region. Again, the host does everything. ESPN's Reese Davis. Mm-hmm. It's R-E-C-E. It's a tough way to spell Reese.
I know.
You spelled it wrong. He doesn't spell it right. It's R-E-C-E. It's only one E. He doesn't know how to spell Reese. That's his fault, not yours. 12 seed, former Alabama quarterback, national champion, Greg McElroy.
Reese Davis. Yeah. And I like Greg.
I don't.
I like Greg. Greg's...
Greg McElroy.
Why?
I don't know.
Have you ever met him?
Nah.
Very nice guy.
Why do I need to meet these people to judge them?
Well, that's where I knew that we were going to have issues, because I've met most of these people. But, like, Greg McElroy, fantastic at what he does. But, I mean, Reese Davis is a king.
Four seed in the Brandon Walker region, Fox Big Noon commentator Gus Johnson.
We're just talking about college football?
We are.
Okay.
Uh-oh. You trying to get Gus out early?
Well, we'll see.
Against former UConn great Dan Orlovsky. Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, Gus Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Just because there was one game where Dan Orlovsky said Texas A&M didn't deserve to make it to the playoff doesn't mean that he's a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy. And he works very closely with Laura.
And he's all the TikToks with Laura.
Yeah, no. He's very close friends with Laura. I'm going to be honest. I find some of his takes not so great. And I think Gus Johnson's voice alone moves him forward.
I agree with her. Okay. I like Orlovsky, but I've come a long way on Gus Johnson in a short time.
All right, yeah. Gus, yeah. It's like, I'm just happy Dan's in the bracket.
No, you know? Dan is good. And yes, Dan is, I've
heard
out,
it. Jack, that you put him in the bracket.
But he, some of his takes,
I was just trying to celebrate. Like,
I'd like to point out, Jack, that you suggested him for the bracket.
You know, like, you look at it sometimes when he's given a take and you're just like, what are you talking about? Like, sometimes I feel like that with him, with just Gus Johnson's calls and voice alone.
We move down to the bottom half of the Brandon Walker bracket. Much like his USC brethren, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart is number six. And he is facing the 11 seed, and this is a tough matchup for Leinart because it is another, much like Reggie Bush faced a huge big-time journalist in Pete Thamel. Matt Leinart is facing Brett McMurphy.
Mm. Oh, see, I'm going to have to go the same reason that I the upset on the other six.
USC boys called a tough matchup.
Yeah, no, Brett McMurphy, again, he's a guy. When I see him.
His name just screams college football.
His name screams college football, and you know that he's right. He's not one of those guys that's just going to put something out to be first. He's incredibly knowledgeable. And, you know, Matt Leinart, great at TV. But if you can be a writer in 2022 and still have, like,
matter,
like, you move on. Brett McMurphy.
He's another post notifications on guy. Yeah. Like, if he knows it.
Like, Matt Leinart is great for commentating and for, like, analyzing the game.
Handsome guy.
Very handsome, of course. I remember, like, him in the hot tub with all the girls at USC.
Mm-hmm.
I'll beat Brett to news sometimes, with, like, finding it out. I'm like, that's, like, the top moment.
Yeah, like, Brett.
That's how I know it's fast.
Brett is somebody that you go for, like, breaking news. So we need to move him forward.
This might be the most. This matchup here, buddy. I don't even want to say it out loud. Number three, that ugly piece of shit that just makes more money than God himself. The god of the SEC, Paul Finebaum.
Paul.
Who are you facing, Paul? Maybe the greatest announcer in the history of sports. You know her from the noon Northwest game every fucking week.
Yep.
I can't believe you did this to yourself.
It's every Minnesota game you've ever watched.
You put her in and not my pick?
Beth Mowins.
Somehow calls three games every Saturday.
Every Saturday.
I honestly don't know why you did this to yourself. Because here's the thing. You know I like Beth. I know you don't like
You're Murph. Not going to. She can't upset Feinbaum.
Feinbaum's college football.
I don't think that if Paul Feinbaum did not have collars, I do not think that he would know what he's talking about.
Feinbaum is everything stupid and great about college football.
That is true, but I do
the same about you.
Well, that's fine. I'd love to be.
Paul Feinbaum. Are you on this? Why don't you guys put you two on this?
Well, we have a two seat coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
To be honest.
I mean, here's the thing. We obviously have to move Paul Feinbaum on, but.
What were you going to say, Jack?
You said, to be honest.
No, I'm going to let Brandon say the rest of the bracket.
We're going to go down to the two seed real quick.
Were you about to slander Beth Mowins?
No, Beth Mowins is whatever to me. She's could be better, could be worse.
The seven. Seven, speaking of handsome gentlemen, Jesse Palmer. And Jesse Palmer facing longtime CBS studio host and announcer Tim Brando.
Ooh, that's a good one.
If Tim Brando didn't suck at Twitter so much, I would put him through. But I like Jesse Palmer's better.
I think so too. I think
who hates Tim Brando?
Who?
NC.
Why?
Oh, they're both from the same area. He's from
that's
like,
right. That's right.
Brando was always mean to Mincy or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
It's believable.
Yeah, no, I think Jesse Palmer.
Mincy's vacation started from the Mincy tour.
No, he's back. It's
he extended the Mincy tour. Okay, hopefully he gets 2 or 3 weeks off after sending a tweet a day. Yeah.
Oh my goodness,
he's still here. Hey Shane, all right.
He did the.
He's looking at our bracket.
Hey, next week.
Here you go. He looked at our graphic. He did not approve of what we were doing.
I thought he was making a face like Katie. It's like, oh, I didn't know you knew him.
Nice.
He's been here a while.
Yeah, he did Friday.
12 o'clock.
He did Friday Night Pints and KFC Radio, I believe.
And the number 15 seed.
Moving on, Jesse Palmer, by the way.
Yeah, Jesse Palmer moves on. The number 15 seed, somebody that needs all the help they can get, probably going to lose immediately, is Barstool Sports' Casey Smith. The number 2 seed, the heart and soul of the Unnecessary Roughness podcast, Brandon Walker.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yes, I am. Number 2 seed, Lee Corso. And number 15 seed, Joey Galloway.
Oh, you got to move Lee.
Well, of course you do. This Joey was a sacrificial lamb here. But
yeah, I mean, you got to move Lee, of course. I mean, Joey's good, but Lee is... I mean, Lee's
an icon.
The fact that, like, that man, like, you know, he can just drop a nice F-bomb on College Game Day and no one cares. Like, they try to bleep it out and, like, she's like, whatever, he's old now, who cares?
All right, so let's quickly, we now have a Sweet 16. So let's go back up to the top left of the bracket.
Ooh, now this is when it's going to start getting tough.
Oh, yeah, it's going to get tough soon.
All right.
So we go up to the top left.
Are we putting this out publicly?
We're going to put the raw, I think we should put the bracket
the raw.
Out. Yeah.
Not our picks.
Right. And they'll get mad at our seeds and everything, but I don't.
We'll do our picks like in a few days after.
Yeah.
All right. So back in the Casey Smith region, the number 1 seed who advanced easily is Kirk Herbstreit. He is facing number 8 seed Desmond Howard. Let's be honest. Kirk's going to have a pretty easy walk for a while.
Yep. Kirk.
So Kirk moves on. Kirk is college football to me. Down in the other Sweet 16 matchup, here's a tough matchup of incredible play-by-play guys. It is Brad Nessler, CBS, against Brent Musburger.
Ooh. You know what? I think I'm gonna go here. I think Musburger because I think he's more synonymous with college football.
Ness is better though.
Ness is better.
But
Brent Musburger is like. Like we said, like just
Ness is so good.
Ness is so good. I mean, this is people are going to get mad because it's like, oh, like talent versus whatever. But like if you sat here and I said like to a random college football fan, who's more recognizable? It's Brett. I mean,
all right. So we're going to go Musburger getting through.
Musburger. The next one I feel like is pretty easy too.
All right. We're going to this. Pete Thamel had an 11-6 upset. He beat Reggie Bush, but now he faces Chris Fowler, ESPN.
Again, different types.
Well, Fowler's going to get his tough matchup in the next round. So
I'm going to go with Fowler.
Yeah, Chris Fowler. Chris Fowler beats Pete Thamel.
Yeah.
And down here, Danny Cannell pulled off an upset to beat Ron Franklin, but now he runs up against Uncle Vern.
Uncle Vern.
I could see Danny making a run here, but...
No.
What do you think, Jack? Yeah, it's Uncle Vern. Uncle Vern.
I mean, that was a troll job, right?
Oh, no.
If Danny had called a different region there, he could have made a run.
No, oh, I know, but I'm saying you weren't going to actually okay. I thought you were going to try to make an argument about
Danny
Vern.
Goes to work during the football season.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. And he knows how to rile the people up, but, like, on no planet is he moving past Vern.
We also need, like, an honorable mention of, like, other people that are good that, like, didn't make the bracket.
No.
Because you two made it, like Casey and I, if we have any extras, like I think like Nicole Auerbach should be on this, but.
These media people love themselves already.
I only had to do two women.
Fair.
That's a joke.
It's a joke. It's a sexist podcast.
Keith Jackson was number one seed. He won easily over that bastard Josh Pate, and now he is facing he's facing number nine Todd Blackledge.
Keith Jackson for me.
Blackledge did well, but Keith Jackson is going to move to the next round. He's an Elite Eight. Reese Davis against Gus Johnson. Now, this one ain't easy.
Ooh, this one's hard.
Reese has the better career so far, the more college football accolades, but Gus Johnson, if I think 12:30 on a Saturday, who am I watching? Gus Johnson's come a long way and in a short time.
There are a lot of people who, with Gus Johnson, like him calling basketball more than football.
There are, but I think he's...
You think he's changed that narrative?
I think he is changing that narrative. I think when they put him on that big Fox game a couple years ago, I think he's started to turn that tide, and he's, like, built a better... He might be getting more known for football than he is basketball. And I'm going to say it. I would like Gus Johnson to advance here.
Okay, fine.
I want Gus Johnson to beat Reese Davis.
All right.
I'm in on that.
We go down to Brett McMurphy against Paul Feinbaum. That's the 11 against – no. You're shortchanging Feinbaum.
It's not that I
– Murphy is more national.
No, he's not. I think just as many people know Feinbaum as know Murphy.
Covers more national.
This is – again, Paul Feinbaum as a personality.
This is no question Feinbaum.
I got it. I'm going to have to fight this one.
No, here's
the thing. This is our first
fight. It's not – I like Paul Feinbaum. I think he's very good at what he does.
The Action Network.
But he is like, when breaking news happens, Brett McMurphy always has it first.
Paul Feinbaum is college football.
Paul Feinbaum made a career out of being ugly and uninteresting, and he just uses callers, and it's just the passion of SEC.
I'm not taking away everything you're saying about Paul. This is not against Paul necessarily. I'm saying that, like, I'm not going to Paul Feinbaum for my college football information.
You're also not going to Brett McMurphy for interesting tidbits.
That's true.
Not for entertainment.
All right, you're right. Feinbaum.
It's entertainment versus news.
Yeah,
entertainment wins.
Yeah, entertainment wins. Feinbaum. You're
Feinbaum
right.
There.
You're right.
And then we got Jesse Palmer's cute ass against Lee Corso.
Lee Corso.
Now we're down to the Elite Eight.
Oh, it's getting tough.
Boy, that was tough. All right. So we go back up to the Casey Smith region. We have number one seed Kirk Herbstreit against number four seed Brent Musburger.
I mean.
This is where we say goodbye to Brent, right?
Yeah, we got to.
We got to say goodbye to Brent. What do you think, Jack?
Gotta say bye to Brent.
I think it's easy.
Yeah. Now, Chris Fowler.
Oh.
It's Uncle Vern.
We're all taking a sip of water because this one's tough.
I don't think it's that tough. I think it's Uncle Vern. Guy was SEC football during the time when SEC football made its way into being the biggest thing in college sports.
Well, and he had, like, he's known as Uncle Vern.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, he has, like, a lasting nickname.
So, right here, Keith Jackson goes up against Gus Johnson. Keith Jackson beats Gus Johnson, I assume.
Yes. Can move Keith Jackson along.
Should we have done dead guys in here?
You have to respect
too late
the dead.
Now.
And then we have Feinbaum against Corso. Now we got him.
Corso, easily.
I don't think it's easy. This motherfucker Feinbaum.
You listen, and again, it sounds like I hate Paul Feinbaum. I do not hate Paul Feinbaum. But from a national standpoint, Lee Corso is more known than Paul Feinbaum. You're in the SEC.
I think Feinbaum has just pushed himself.
Lee Corso's
high on Feinbaum because you want to be him.
Oh,
I want to be Corso too.
You think
I'm with Brandon
Lee Corso has made an entire like decades
putting the helmet on?
That's what I'm saying. But that's the legendary thing that he does.
Give me one take.
It's not even about takes. Corso. Give me one take that Paul Feinbaum's done.
Paul Feinbaum's been on the.
Give me one good take from Paul Feinbaum.
One good take from Paul.
Good take. I don't know. I'll give you some bad takes.
But I can't. But I tell.
Picking up the phone from Harvey Updike. Continuing on.
Lee Corso.
So what did you?
They have like the montage of. Decades. We're talking decades and decades and decades of him putting on those mascot heads. Every single week. They do it the last thing every single week because it's what people want to see. Every single week. We could honestly pull this office and I guarantee you it would be Corso and a
landslide. Nobody knows
what we're about to do.
Here.
Okay.
Stay right there.
No, I'm coming. Go get people.
Oh, I'm bringing them in. Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought you were going to go try to sway their asses. Like, this is the thing, is that...
We have no mic back there to turn the other mics on.
Yeah, they can just use our mic.
Mine.
Yeah.
Ask Bob.
No, I don't like Bob.
Ask them.
Just
I'm not going to ask him. I'm not asking them.
Yes, ask Justin to Alabama.
Yeah, come here. Justin went to Alabama. Sit right here for a second. We're doing a little. Let me explain this to you. No. I'm not going to try to sway him. I'm going to tell him what we're doing. We are doing a bracket of college football personalities, media personalities. And currently, we are having an argument in the Elite Eight between Lee Corso and Paul Feinbaum.
Shouldn't be an argument. It's Feinbaum easy.
Yep.
Shut up!
Corso doesn't know he's talking.
Yeah, Corso.
But Corso's more synonymous with college football.
No, it's easy.
Hold on. I'm going to get a non-SEC guy.
It's easy.
Well, okay, get
TJ.
But the thing is that Lee Corso with the helmet and all the fucking legendary shit. Yeah, but he.
Stop talking to people off the mic. Stop people talking.
Okay, all right.
Thank
okay,
you,
non-SEC.
Thanks, Justin.
A non-SEC person. Yes, Jack, sit down. All right, Jack. So we're doing a... poll of the best college football.
Paul Feinbaum.
For college football as a whole, who's more recognizable?
No, that's not it at all.
Okay.
Media.
Who is...
They can define it however they want.
Elite Eight. Paul Feinbaum, Lee Corso.
I'd say Corso.
Okay.
I'm telling you. It's because SEC people... Thank you, Jack, for agreeing with me. It's because SEC people watch Paul Feinbaum. The whole country watches Lee Corso.
No... People, Feinbaum's on SportsCenter all the time. Feinbaum is college football. It's what is great about college football. He brings the fan. When has Lee Corso ever talked to a fan?
I've talked to Lee Corso. He's very nice.
Yeah, but you as a media member, not a fan.
I'm telling you.
Why'd you bring this bozo?
ACC fan.
Brandon.
All right.
The SEC. Okay, SEC. Okay. ACC fan, please sit down.
He is a Virginia fan.
Okay.
Virginia fan.
Just say
Lee Corso or Paul Feinbaum?
Lee Corso.
Okay.
Easy. I'm telling you guys, if you're from the SEC, if you're from the South, it's going to be Feinbaum. If you're national, it's Lee Corso.
Oh, Lee Corso's he's not even on the show for the full time. They take him off.
It's because he's old. That's not how it's been. He's been on there for like three
Bob,
fucking
come
years.
In here.
If you compare also old geezers compared to basketball and
like,
football,
come on.
He's so much more
like, what
well-liked.
Are we talking about?
Lee, sit down.
You sit down. With get Nick, mic. Too. Get,
Lee Corso or Paul Feinbaum?
Into the mic.
Corso,
done.
Three.
I'm telling you. You guys are so
right,
wrong.
He doesn't count. I told you not to use
him. He does right. count. He does count.
I did not want. He does not count.
He does count.
Go.
Come on in.
Thank you.
Thank you. You guys, you're being so regional right
now.
Here
comes Ebo. Ebo has liked, I think, every single one of our YouTube videos. Lee Corso.
Like the video. Like the video.
Lee Corso.
Comment.
Comment.
Subscribe.
Lee Corso or Paul Feinbaum?
Well,
just answer.
Paul Feinbaum.
Yep. There we go. That's all you had to do. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
I'm still winning, so I'm still ahead. I'm telling you, this is such a regional thing. You guys are wrong.
No, but he's not from the South.
He's from Ohio.
No, I know, but I'm saying like Paul Feinbaum, people
you know
that
what?
Are in Big Ten.
We have to get past this.
We do, but people in the Big Ten are not watching the Paul Feinbaum show. People in the Big Ten are watching College Game Day.
They learn a thing or two.
People in the ACC are not watching the Paul Feinbaum show. They're watching College Game Day.
I'm going to give you Corso to move on.
Thank you, because I'm
right. Corso's going to move on. So we're going to put Corso in, but this will be an interesting debate among the when we put this blank bracket out.
Oh, for sure.
Let's see how many answers we get.
But here's the thing: is I would say
these guys are probably winning anyways.
No, so. But our demographic. I wish we had a breakdown. Like, you know, on Instagram, you can see the demographics. I wish we could see like which conference. I would assume most
probably SEC.
Probably SEC.
College football.
Right, but so that's what I'm saying is that I feel like more people are going to say Feinbaum. My last point on this is, again, if you are an SEC fan, you are watching Paul Feinbaum every single day. Paul, the whole thing.
But Casey, if 60% of the fans consuming college football in America are SEC fans, then he is the biggest.
Yeah. But okay, you put then why is he not on College Game Day?
Oh, he's on SEC Nation.
Yeah, but who watches SEC Nation?
That's what they launched to try to
It didn't work.
It worked. It worked.
Girls on it.
I mean, no, listen.
It worked.
Friends
listen,
on it. You're owning yourself right
my
now.
My friend's on it. Yeah, but
it worked. And plus,
we will tell you in comparison. I mean,
when Corso retires, I bet they move Feinbaum up.
You think people give a fuck about Feinbaum putting on those things?
Uh-huh. Well, they won't
no
have
chance.
To do that. That's the worst. No. That's
they might not do that, but they'll bring
right
Feinbaum
now,
up.
From a generational thing, and Katie said this too, it is. From a generational thing, when you look at college football and you look at what College Game Day has become, it's Lee Corso easy.
This is a good argument. So this
also,
is good.
About two minutes ago, I put out a Twitter poll. I just said, from my personal, I said, pick one. That's it. It says, pick one, Lee Corso, Paul Feinbaum. With 36 votes in a minute, Lee Corso's up 83%.
People love to hate Feinbaum.
All right. But we're going to go to Lee Kirk Corso. Byrne for
all right.
The final four.
We're in the final four. This is to get a championship appearance. It is Kirk Herbstreit against Uncle Vern Lundquist. The number one against the number two.
Oh, boy.
Both of these are ones and twos.
I tried to put a three seed through.
Well, I did too.
Who?
We both trying to put Feinbaum through.
Oh, yeah. No, that's stupid.
It's Kirk.
Yeah. It's Kirk.
I like Uncle Vern, but it's Kirk.
Kirk.
I can't believe Lee Corso is going to be in the championship game, man.
He's not, because Keith Jackson's going to beat him.
All right, sure.
What? Don't you think?
I just can't even believe Lee Corso made it that far. He's one of the most overrated people in the history of college football.
Get the fuck out of here.
He's
so iconic for college football. He's so iconic.
Let me say this.
Like college football,
let me ask you this. If Kirk and Fowler didn't exist to carry Game Day, would Corso...
No, I completely agree with that, but I'm saying that he's...
You know his name.
Lee Corso?
Yeah.
Yes. He's the spectacle. He's the entertainment value. He's the one they've got crawling out of doghouses and like... Like, yes, as he's gotten older, obviously, they've had to help him. But, I mean, there's a reason that they do every single year a montage of everything he's done. Like, what he means to that show is massive.
All right, so in the championship, you have the guy that's looked at as the GOAT college football announcer against maybe the GOAT college football personality of these days.
Yep.
These days, you're not just an announcer. You're a personality. You do everything. I think Kirk Herbstreit wins.
We're biased.
This isn't a Kirk podcast by any stretch of imagination. We do like him. But he is a likable face on college football. College football stirs up so many emotions like Feinbaum. People love to hate Feinbaum. Nobody hates Herbstreit. Nobody.
No.
People got mad at him this year.
But he was strong enough a personality to overcome the blowback he got from
that. Yeah, that is true. And like certain fan bases will stop liking him for periods of time. And I think A&M actually has been one for a while. I think our viceroy did. But like certain fan bases will get mad at him for like a day. Like a day. It's Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah, Kirk Herbstreet's my number one.
But we also are just incredibly biased.
We like him.
We like Kirk. Kirk's a friend of the program.
All right, there you go. That's our bracket. We're going to put out the blank bracket, and you can tell us your winners, your final fours. I don't know how we're going to do it, but that's just a fun bracket exercise. And maybe
I liked that. That was really fun.
For next week's bracket, we can if we can come up with it on Tuesday, and we can all fill out our own.
Yeah, so we already know.
We can all have our own champions, yes.
Well, but then that's hard to explain on a podcast.
I don't think it is.
It is, because then it gets, like, convoluted. I don't know. We'll see. But I like
the way we did it.
I do like the way, because...
Going through as a group.
Yes, but I also want to be involved in the seeding next
time. Also steamrolled us and pulled weight and put Corso in the final four.
More people said Corso.
I don't think they did, because Bob doesn't count.
It was the quote, I think this era of player just doesn't love college football.
Yeah, Katie hated that one.
I mean, I don't think I hated it any more or less than anyone else did.
But it didn't. He didn't last long. Like, people still are mad at Kirk Herbstreit.
Anything else?
Yeah, I did go digging.
So
for
it. Remember that time during bowl season, people were so proud of themselves for saying, like, fighting back, like, these players should be proud of themselves. Like, don't listen to the olds. Like, relax, guys.
Relax. And then Matt Corral goes out and gets hurt.
No. I'm on the other side. Like, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer there.
No, I know, but I'm saying it was kind of ironic, though, that it was.
But
like,
where's
Matt
Corral this weekend? Combine, healthy.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not throwing, but I think that's just because they don't want a lot of people to see him throw.
He's completely healthy, 100%?
I think that's what it said.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys have a ranking for next week, or do you want to ask Roughnecks for ideas?
Ooh.
We're going to do live mascots next week.
Okay. Works.
Ooh, mascots?
Brandon's we'll grinning like
mascots.
A fool.
We're going to do live mascots at one point.
Well, no. Why don't we rank? We'll do the scandals. But the thing is, if
I don't want the scandal brag. I want that to be a separate thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, we can do scandals that are not.
What if we don't rank them? What if we just visit all the scandals?
Yeah. Ranking scandals could probably get.
It feels kind of weird awarding something the best scandal.
Yeah, and also like it gets kind of dicey because then you.
What are we
going to
argue?
Then
he's going to have to justify Jimbo.
Right.
But no, listen. If he helped cover up with the Jameis stuff, I've said it. But here's the thing. Then we start getting really dicey with like, well, it was. Like Penn State, or
I don't want to have to passionately argue.
Oh, it's good. Right. I
love for Jerry Sandusky raping boys as a scandal.
We're not going to put 32 teams.
I think you can if you do it. You can do it just not like NCAA violations. You can do without.
Was an NCAA violation.
We'll figure that out. We got 7 days.
We'll just talk about it.
7 days.
Yes,
live mascots.
Maybe live mascots.
I like.
We can ask if Roughnecks have a better idea.
Better bracket ideas.
Yeah.
All right, that's our.
That was a good exercise. I enjoyed that. That was thought provoking.
What?
Thought provoking.
Easy for you to say. Okay, there we go. That's the podcast this week. We got nothing else. Thank you. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
That's Unnecessary Roughness.